to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Come on, come on. Begin to open up your mouth and give a shout of praise. You may have come in here with some junk in your life. May have come in here with some burdens on your back. But I guarantee you, when you open up your mouth and begin to give Him a shout of praise, every bit of that Jericho wall is going to begin to come down. So come on, open up your mouth. Begin to give Him a shout of praise. Just for the breath in your mouth. Just for the step in your walk. If you have nothing else to say, just God, thank you that I'm here. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you look good today. And I believe you will receive breakthrough today. In Jesus' name. With every hand lifted up in the air, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to worship you. Father, let our praise go up. Let the blessings come down. Let our worship go up. Let it be a sweet-smelling aroma to you, Father God. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill this place. Touch our lives. Transform us. Let us not leave the same. If you believe that, shout amen.
Sing glorious with me.
Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise. Glorious. You are glorious.
My God, you reign forever and ever. How great your name! Your love remains forever and ever. You stay the same. Shout it out, shout it out, shout it out. If you know He. Sing it out, sing it out.
The Lord is good.
Shout it out loud. You are glorious.
Come on, sing glorious.
Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Glorious, you are glorious.
And shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious.
Come on, sing it out right to Him.
Shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world.
are glorious. Come on, shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. Oh, you are glorious. Oh, you are glorious. Glorious.
Shout it out in glorious. Make it loud. We're not just saying, shine, Jesus, shine, because it sounds good. The word says, who has a lamp and would hide it? So we're not trying to hide the light that Jesus has given us. Jesus is that light on the inside of us. And we want him to shine so bright in this world. We want people to see the light on the inside of us. If you want people to see, I just want you to get your hand up. If you want the light of Jesus to shine in your life in every circumstance, I just want you to sing it out with me. With your whole heart, because we're not trying to hide Jesus, not in this place, not in this house, amen? I want you to sing it with everything you've got.
Shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious.
Can I get a little hop? Can I get a little hop?
Shine.
Shine, that's that light.
Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Come on, if he's greater, give him the praise.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome. Out of the ashes we rise.
fearless, then what could stand against?
And if our God is for us,
then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? Oh, what could stand against?
Come on, give praise to your God.
Oh, our God is great.
Awesome in power, our God, our God.
Sing, my God is greater.
My God is greater. My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. My God is healer. Awesome in power, my God, my God.
Father, thank you. Thank you for being my God. Thank you that I can call you mine. That you show up how I need you to at the perfect time. Thank you, Jesus. You're so faithful.
No other God can be called the Father. No other God can be called the Friend. No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God's coming back again. And how we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name. And how beautiful one, we love your name.
Sing, no other God.
No other God can be called a Father. No other God can be called a Friend. No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God's coming back again.
Oh, and how
we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name.
And
how we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one.
The blood of Jesus.
can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole?
It's nothing. relief, isn't it? It means you'll never be good enough. Turn to someone and say, you're never going to be good enough for God. Man, some people say, oh no. I'm saying, oh yes. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, amen. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can never be good enough for heaven. You can never do good enough works for heaven. It's all about the blood of Jesus that washes away every single stain. And I love the fact that the blood has made me whole. Amen? You know, some of you struggle in your walk with God because you're constantly making bad choices. And you've actually thought that God's given up on you. And I want you to know today, oh, precious is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Those who call upon the name of the Lord, He'll wash you fresh. He'll wash you all new. He'll make you a brand new babe right this very second. All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord. So I don't know what you're stuck in. Maybe you've got that smile. You're good religious folk. Man, you've been saved for 572 years and 13 seconds. But inside, you know something's not right. I want you to know, you just talk to Jesus right now. He'll make it all pure. The blood is that powerful. Amen? Don't you love the blood? I said, don't you love the blood? Oh, let's sing it one more time.
And oh, come on, church. Precious
sing to Jesus. Thank you now.
The blood.
Hallelujah.
That makes me white as snow.
I love you, Jesus.
I know it's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Boy, I tell you, when you get that thing, when you get that in your pocket, you really get a hold of that thing. I'm talking like it doesn't matter what the devil wields against you. You know you can always fall back on the blood. Amen. There's nothing that scares the devil more than singing about the blood of Jesus. I love singing about the blood of Jesus. It just makes the demons scream. Why? They were defeated, absolutely defeated because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, there's no sin more powerful. There's no devil more powerful. And death is not more powerful than Jesus Christ. Oh, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? In my spirit, I just sense there are folks out there today, you're struggling with a fear of death. And I need you to know that as a believer, you don't have to fear death. Now, it's not that we want to go die. I want to live. To live is gain, amen? I want to live for Christ. But you got nothing to fear in death. Why is that? Because when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Man, that day that you and I take our last breath or the rapture happens, amen, we're going to see Jesus face to face. And there's nothing going to be greater than seeing our Messiah. Amen. The blood has washed your sins away. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go find five people you don't know and say, thank God for the blood. Look them right in the eye and say, thank God for the blood. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody. Brad Garrett, go find somebody. Get. Go get him.
Okay, that's enough talking, enough mingling. Go ahead and have a seat now. Okay? Thank you.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at pastorchad@histabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all are brilliant and amazing for braving the rain, braving the storms in some places to come and to fellowship in the house of God. So come on, give yourselves a round of applause. It is brilliant for you to be here. But more importantly, keep on clapping for the King of Kings, for the Lord of... Come on, keep on clapping for your King of Kings, for your Lord of Lords, the one that woke you up this morning, gave you the breath in your lungs and the clapping in your hands to give Him a praise. Amen. We're so excited to be here. As y'all can tell, we love church. Who loves church? I hope you love church. You're the senior pastor. If this is your first time coming to worship with us, can I just see your hands lifted up? This is your first time here, first time attending. Awesome. Come on, put your hands together. If you did not receive a welcome packet, could you just keep your hands lifted up? If you did not receive a welcome packet, with your hands lifted, we have our guest host coming through right now. They're going to hand a packet to you. In there, you find out some information about our church. But most importantly, we want to meet you outside underneath the tent. I know it's raining, but it's okay. We have you covered. Outside underneath the tent, get to meet some of the pastors, some of the people here on staff. We'd love to just get to know you a little bit better. But overall, thank you so much for coming to worship with us on your first time here. Let's get up for our guest one more time. And as we're clapping, we want to welcome live stream. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you guys. You guys are family. So who knows the two big things we do here? What's the first one, Pastor? I can't. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. And the top two ways we do that, we have a program that is called Next Steps. Shout, Next Steps. This is where you can go above and beyond your Sunday training and begin to get even deeper into your faith, into believing and understanding what it is that you say you do believe. We call it called Next Steps. So on this side of the building at 7 p.m., we have a class going on right now that's called Family and Parenting. You don't have to have a family. You don't have to have be a parent to attend this class. It is still good information and good knowledge. Josiah Skinkle, he is tearing it up. He is teaching us some phenomenal things. I'm getting feedback from my wife every single week about how I need to be a better husband, father, the whole nine yards. So there's some great things that are coming out of that class. So I encourage you this Tuesday, 7 p.m. in the large classroom, come on out and let's get plugged into Next Steps. Amen. The second thing we do is called groups. Shout groups. Now, who here thinks they have the best group? Oh, wow. Pastor, look at all these people in groups. I think we have a picture of a group to feature this week. Oh, wow. My group again. Wow. I mean, come on. I'm kidding. This is actually Corey Pelton's group, who just had a baby. I just crashed his group. They were packed out. He actually invited his next door neighbor, who was not living for the Lord. And to this day, he says he felt the presence of God in that small group. And Corey is still, you know, talking to him and loving on him and praying with him and his girlfriend. And that's what groups is all about. We're connecting here and we're taking the love of the Father that's in here out to the streets. That's what the people of God need. Amen. So if you want to be a part of that, I want you to go and sign up for a group today. Find a group leader, find a pastor and say, hey, I want to get plugged into the one family of God here at His Tabernacle. Amen. And now we have Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning. What an awesome day to be in the house of God this morning. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, as you all know, this is one of my favorite times in the service that we get to spend like 4 to 5 minutes. It's just a little sliver of the service talking about money. And you know, to be honest, your whole life is about money. You spend at least 50 to 60 hours, many of you, earning income, and then the other portion is spending or paying bills, right? So most of our lives revolve around money, and we need to talk about success in our finances in the church of God, because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His children. And I know as a parent that I've taken time to teach my children principles of giving and receiving and success and prosperity in finances. And I get such great joy to see my children's life successful. And it's the same with God. And I love that opportunity that I get to share with you in this house. So if we don't talk about money, you won't know how to be successful. And in Malachi 3, it tells us in verse 10 to bring all of the tithe. Now, the tithe is not just Old Testament. There's many references in the New Testament about the tithe also. And the word tithe simply means 10% of your income. So the Word of God is what tells us to bring in the tithe. Well, guess what? There's also a scripture that I don't even like reading, and we omit it so many times when we are talking about giving and receiving, but it's important for us to know. The scripture just before this one that tells us to bring in the tithe so that there'll be food in my house to prove it, says the Lord of the hosts, will I not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon my people that you can't even contain, and I'll rebuke the devourer. We focus on that. We love that. We sing the songs, but we've got to be doers and not hearers only, because just before that scripture reference in 10, verse 9, talks about when we don't tithe, when we don't bring in the tithe. So this is not my words. Don't anybody throw rotten tomatoes at me. This is the Word of God I'm reading to you for your own success. And it says in verse 8 that they've robbed God by not giving tithes and offerings. That's what verse 8 says. And then 9 says, therefore your finances are cursed with a curse. And you know, that's the part we don't like to talk about, but it's so true. We had that amazing testimony last week from Brittany and Isaiah, how they had thought they couldn't afford to tithe anymore. How many of you have been put at that crossroads in your life? You had to make a decision like, I literally feel like I can't afford to tithe. So they had stopped tithing and everything started going wrong in their household. And it's not just financially, everything started going wrong. And the moment that they returned to God, like it says in verse 7, he returned to them and the windows of heaven opened up and he poured out blessing. The word of God says, try me in this and see. So if you have not been a tither, according to the word of God, I encourage you today to start today. The awesome part is his mercies are new every morning. How many of you love that his mercies are new? We get a clean slate that we get to work with. His mercies are new every morning. And today we can walk under that awesome open heaven. Pastor Spencer.
Honestly, she won't stop. You know, the reason she won't stop is because this is proven in our own lives. I mean, we don't do anything that we don't prove. Amen? You know, you can preach something that you don't know or you preach something you do know. If you do know it, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this. It's convincing because in your own heart, you've already proven it. You know, and this is the Sunday. I want to remind everybody that last Sunday I talked about seed. We've sown into all the different guest speakers and we love sowing into guest speakers. But God has given us an opportunity this morning to sow into our own home. For those who are our guests, this is not for you. The seed offering is not for you in the aspect for you to give unless you feel compelled. But this is for the home folk. This is for our home church. If you feel God is calling you to seed into your own church, I challenge you to do so. This is above your tithe. This is not your tithe. For me, my wife and I give a lot of money to a lot of different ministries. Sometimes we forget our own home. And this morning, as I'm up at 4:30 this morning a.m. praying and seeking God about the church and about the service, the Lord dropped a number in my heart, and I fought with him for a little bit. And I said, but you know, Jesus, less would be more. And he said, no, if it doesn't hurt, it's not good seed. And so he said, I want you to hurt, kid. Now, this is not our family money. This is my own personal money. So I went over to the safe, cracked the safe, pulled out what he told me, and this morning I'm excited to be able to give because I know the principles of seed time and harvest. I can't lose, amen? Whatever you sow, you shall reap. The Bible says, and if I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you know, I can't say I was real cheerful when he gave me the amount, but I will tell you, I am cheerful because I know that as I sow, I'll always have a harvest. So I just want to challenge you. This is your home church. If you feel God calling you to sow into the house of God, there's going to be a golden bowl in the middle. And then the regular offerings will be on the either side. And we just challenge you to, as you come and you put it in. Last week, 33 people gave their hearts to Jesus in this house last week. Two people were healed. And God touched and changed lives. I call that good ground. And so I have no problem sowing into our own house because I know it's good ground. Amen. Had one man say to me, I'm not giving to another speaker. I said, well, that's not right. He said, well, no, we never give enough to our own church. I said, well, you know, that is true. But I believe that today is just a special day. And God put it on my heart last week. I announced it last week. This week, we're just going to receive seed as you feel led of the Holy Ghost. You can give online. I didn't even see these envelopes before. But 84321, you can give by text. You can go online, histabernacle.com, and give right there. Those are all options. But today, I'm just excited that I'm going to be able to give my seed. And honey, what are you going to give?
Your seed.
This is my seed. This is not your seed.
Your seed.
No, this is my seed. I'm sorry.
This is my harvest. Let's bring the Bible. We are one.
No, I'm telling you.
We are one. What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours.
She's not going to like this part. So let me have what you have.
Okay.
Oh. We're buying a new ATV this week. Glory to Jesus.
You're going to get a reduction in allowance then.
See, it's not true. It's my seed.
If you're ready to give, Stand up, let's make our supernatural declaration. We're so glad that God is still honing Pastor Spencer. So in this house, we bring our tithes and offerings forward, and we just declare the word of the Lord according to Deuteronomy verse 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I am blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings have chased me down.
The blessings have chased me down.
They've tripped me up.
They've tripped me up?
Because I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or text to give.
The other one.
Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Shout it out loud, you are glorious, glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your face.
I said, isn't God good? Amen. I just love Jesus. You know, some folks, I might preach a message on this, not this week, but I'll preach a message on, maybe we should just preach two in this same service. But I've been studying about hearing. It's amazing about hearing. Two people can be in the same room. One can hear it and one cannot. In fact, what's interesting is two people can be in the same room. One hears one thing and another hears another. Isn't it amazing that hearing has a direct impact on the fear of the Lord? That's why some people will remain in sin and some will not. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is honor. And when honor is understood, then a hearing ear is always available. Ooh, come on now, that was free. Jesus. This is the year of... I just personally want to welcome all the guests. I'm soaking wet still from this morning on the driveway, just for you all. I really am wet. But it will keep me cool for the service. Glory to God. You know, if you're a guest in the house, we have a theme for the entire year. And this year is the year of divine connections. Turn to someone and say, you are God's divine connection. Come on, tell somebody, I'm God's divine connection. The enemy is after your call. I need you to know that. The enemy is after your call. The enemy is after your purpose. The enemy is after the reason that you're breathing. You know what? We all have jobs. Anybody here have a job? If you don't have a job, we'll pray for you to have a job. Amen? We all got a job, but remember, our identity is not in who we are and what we do. It's in who he says we are and what we do. There's a lot of folks that are not doing the will of God, but are doing something. And God is calling us to be people of divine purpose, divine connection. You and I are God's divine connection on this planet. You see, when you and I stop, or the enemy can stop us from doing our divine call, then people ultimately are going to pay the price of being lost for all of eternity. Now, I want to say that one more time because I believe it's imperative that we truly understand, I mean, comprehend. I mean, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That when we don't understand our call, when we have been disembarked through the enemy from our call, people ultimately will pay the eternal price of being lost forever. How is that possible, Pastor? Well, because every one of us in this room have been called by God for this time in this season to do a specific job. You see, the reason purpose is in our lives is because something is broken. How many of you have shoes? It's because someone's feet were broken. How many of you have a belt on? It's because your waist is broken, Jesus. How many of you brushed your teeth this morning? How many thank God for your toothbrush? How many next to you thank God that they thank God for their toothbrush? Amen. Somebody fixed something that was broken. It's called purpose. It's called design. We all have a purpose and a design from God, and the enemy of our soul is striving to disembark you from your purpose and your destiny. Now, I usually preach this message every single year. This would have been my third year not preaching this word, but God dropped it on my spirit strong this last week that I really wanted to share it with you. Understanding how the enemy works in our life is important. You know, there's a whole bunch of Christians out there that no longer believe in demons. How many believe in God? How many believe the Bible is true? Then you believe in demons. What are demons? Demons, one-third of the angels of God, chose to rebel with Lucifer. He was one of the archangels. They chose to go against God, therefore were cast down, and now are not God's angels, but they're fallen angels or demon spirits. And demon spirits have a job to do. This is very important. The very structure of Lucifer, the very structure of the satanic realms is very much order. There is an order in the satanic realm. There are different levels of demonic spirits. There are different demons that do different things. And it's important that we know that because whether you believe in them or not, they are actively trying to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. You see, they are from their father, or understand and do what their father has done. John 10:10. For the devil has come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. When you and I grasp this, then we recognize what the verse is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is not about fighting another human being. We fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers and rulers. Those right there are the different levels of the demonic realm that are actively involved on this planet. Remember, they have a right to be here because Adam and Eve granted them the dominion when they sinned in the garden. And one day, thank God for Jesus, amen, one day they will be displaced and cast into a place where they'll be collected for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. But until then, they're running rampant on this earth. Why? Because they hate you. They don't like you. They despise you. Why do demons despise you? Why does Satan despise you? Because you've been created in the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, and God said, let us make a man in our image and in our likeness. And then God gave them dominion. But I thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for the risen Savior. The Bible says Jesus took away the keys of death and hell, and he took away the keys, and Jesus is now the victor over the devil. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible declares that Jesus made an open show, means he shamed them supernaturally in the spiritual public. They are whooped, but yet so many believers have been destroyed by the diabolical. The Bible says the devil's like an angel of light. He doesn't come around with a little pitchfork and a little red suit. He's sneaky. And how he works, we must understand. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Did you hear that, Bostonian? It just went whoosh. It's beautiful. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says this. Now, I would like you all to start bringing your Bibles to church. Is that all right? Now, I know we have electronic Bibles. I have my iPad. I have the Bible on my iPad. But I'd like you to start bringing your Bibles. I'd like you to start writing in your Bibles. Is that all right? You need to write in your Bibles. If you ever see any of my Bibles, you'll always find there's writing in them all through these portions. This is all writing of different messages that have jumped out at me. And I can literally trail different sermons that pastors have preached that God spoke to my heart specifically. You need to start bringing your Bible and writing in it. Now, what I'd like you to do is I want you to fake turning pages right now just to make me feel real good. I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Now make the sound of pages turning. Go ahead, go. That is so beautiful. You can see it up on the screen. And it says this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is banking that you're ignorant. He's banking that you have not been taught. He's banking that you do not understand his devices or methodologies. He's banking on the fact that you don't know what he's going to do, how he's going to do. Listen now, we all know, and this is a reality, that if you, how many of you saw the video this week of Pastor Dan jumping out and scaring me, and I dropped my water bottle all over the floor? I didn't pee myself. I dropped the water bottle and water went on the floor. But you see, that's Pastor Dan's devices. I'm not ignorant of his devices. Problem was, I was unaware. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't paying attention. Because if I was, I'd have punched him right in the face with the love of the Lord. No, really, if you scare me, I have a very bad reaction. I swing. I'm going to hit you. I know this. But here's the issue, is that I know Pastor Dan's devices. I'm not ignorant of Pastor Dan's devices. And now he carries around that phone so that when he scares me, he gets it and puts it online. But I wasn't paying attention. This is an issue with the body of Christ because many of us, we get so involved with the world, we're no heavenly good. We have forgotten that we do have an adversary, even though he's absolutely defeated. If we're not aware and paying attention and live in ignorance of his devices, it's very easy for us to be twisted. Turn to somebody and say, don't be twisted. Very easy to be twisted and the devil to get in our lives and to literally disembark us from our call and our purpose and the design that God has for our life. You see, he longs to, as your adversary, he longs to get you away from your purpose and design. He longs to make you ineffective. In fact, you know, the devil doesn't mind that you're born again. He just doesn't want you born again dangerous. You see, when you understand purpose and the reason for your breath on this planet, you are purposeful in how you live. For the Bible declares that God orders the steps of the righteous man. You see, ordered steps are not suggestions. Ordered steps are directives. And God is ordering, come on, I feel the anointing on this message, ordering the steps of the sons and daughters of God. So many of us have been disembarked from our vision and we have no heavenly good. Because the enemy has come into our lives and he has literally twisted us to where we're now focusing on the things which can be seen and not the things which cannot be seen. Now, I'm not saying that we should be all heavenly good, that we're no earthly good, because the Bible says, occupy till I come. There's a balance to be brought into order. But many of us as believers are out of balance because we are aware of the devices, but we're not paying attention. And now all of a sudden, we've walked away from the Lord. We've walked away from our destiny. We've walked away from our purpose. And the devil is going, now leave them alone. Don't bother them. The folks that don't go to church. Now listen, I'm talking to you online right now. If you're home because you have to be home, and I understand that. There are folks that are way out of state that are watching us literally all over the world. I love you. Thank you for watching live stream. But if you're local, the problem is this. Many of you are equating this as church. This television, this computer is not church. Because you're not around anybody. Well, I don't like people. Problem number one. Well, people have offended me. Problem number two. Because this is what the family of God is for. Oh, that's right. The word family was included. How many of you always get along with your family? How many of you don't get along with your family? Don't raise your hands. See, this is the issue with believers. So many people have disembarked themselves from the call of God. They're no longer in church, therefore they can do nothing for God. Because what happens if you lead someone to Jesus? Where are you going to bring them? I'm all by myself, all by myself. You see, Satan is very clear in his purposes, and I'm going to be quick today, quicker than normal. That was hopeful for some. The devil is very clear on his devices. The breaking of your connection with other people that God has foreordained for you to touch and change is his design. The disembarking of your purpose means those people will not hear the gospel. Oh, pastor, God will send somebody. That's not always true. I've told you the story before about the missionary. This guy, he was in his church down in Virginia, and a missionary came in and started speaking, and the Lord spoke to this guy that was in the sanctuary, just a guy sitting like you are, talked to this guy and gave him the name of an island and said, I'm going to send you there, and I'm going to have you preach the gospel, and I'm going to use you to save the island. Well, the man actually got home, and he started looking it up. That was before, you know, all the cell phone stuff. Got home, looked it up, and sure enough, that was a real valid island. And he said, you know, God, I've never traveled. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. And so guess what he did? He did nothing. Like 20 years later, another missionary came into the church, and he's sitting there, and the missionary starts talking about that island. And he said, it's a horrible situation. He said, about 22 years ago, a missionary group from a really not good teaching church went in there, and people did give their hearts to the Lord. He said, but after that, they left, and the only other teaching they had was the idolatry that they used to live in and the magic and the old style of witchcraft that they lived in. And so he says, when I got to this island, it was all mixed with witchcraft. And the man sat there and realized that was the exact timing that he was supposed to be there to share the gospel. I want you to realize that you're not just sucking air on this planet. You're not just here to live and die and live in a house and have a few kids and maybe have a bank account, glory to God. You're here because God's divinely appointed you at this time. For you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to someone and say, yeah, you're good stuff. You're good stuff. It's true. You're good stuff. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. So the devil has to have a plan to disembark you, to destroy you, to disconnect you from the very reason you're on this planet. And you see, he has been good at this. This is the devil's devices. This is his methodology. He has not changed it. That's the best part about the devil. The devil doesn't have any new tricks up his sleeve. He's been doing the same thing since the Garden of Eden, and we've got to pay attention. Listen, we might know his devices, but now we have to pay attention. Attention when they're active in our own life. One of the very first things, and he always attacks three areas. Remember, the devil loves to destroy what Jesus paid for. Remember what God said when he created the heavens and the earth? He said, and it was good. Whatever God created good, you'll always find the enemy trying to distort, twist, contort, and make evil. We'll just take sex for an example. God made sex good. All the unmarried should say, I don't know what you're talking about. God said he made sex good between a man and a woman who were married. That's what sex is for. Sex is a union. The two shall become one flesh. It's a God thing. Sex was not created by the devil. It was created by God, not just for procreation, but a unity and a oneness. For the two shall become one flesh. God made it good. But look how Satan took what God created good and twisted it and contorted it. And he, pornography, or the word porno, literally means a twisting, contorting, changing the body form of. He took what God made good and made it evil. Listen, this is where you and I have to pay attention. He is going to take what Jesus made good, and he's going to bring it for evil. Sadly enough, there are a lot of, how do I say this right? Dumb churches. It's about as best I can say it. What? There are a lot of churches that teach their people badly. They actually teach their people wrongly. Well, Pastor, how do you know that what you're teaching is right? I use the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You see, I'm not interested in giving a philosophy or a religious tradition. I'm interested in giving you what God said in His Word. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. I can't hear you. And God said. See, when God says it, it is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all complete. See, this is not about religion. The three areas you'll always find the demonic attack in. Number one is your health. The church world has come to the place of saying that God brings sickness on your body. And I want you to know that that's a lie from hell. If God brings sickness on your body, then you better not ever take a medication, because you're thwarting the will of God. We have a phenomenal doctor in our house. With their philosophy, every doctor is demonic. Because what's the doctor's job? You took an oath, right, Doc? You took an oath? The oath was to make people better. The issue is this, is if their teaching is right, then anybody who makes, if it's God's will for you to be sick, anybody who's trying to make you healthy is bad. But I want you to know anything that stops sickness is good. Amen? We thank God for doctors. Can I hear an amen? Man, the first time you ever see a doctor work in your life and God uses them, thank God. Can I hear an amen? But man, Jesus is the healer. He is the great physician. Here as the believers, there are so many churches teaching so twisted and contorted, but we've got to get back to understanding the word of the Lord, and that by Jesus Christ's stripes, you were healed. I'm talking were, that's past tense. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ, when he died and he rose again, he paid for your healing. All two people said amen. Can I hear any more? I'll just read the Bible. For the Bible, for the Lord, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. See, today Jesus paid for your healing, and the devil wants to make you sick. Why does the devil want to make you sick? Because I don't care if it's a common cold or cancer. I don't care what C it represents. This one thing that I know, sickness is always a jail. Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Not that you'd go into sickness. And man, especially as the churches are teaching out there, that God brought it on you to teach you some spiritual good. It's a bunch of foolishness. By his stripes you were healed. We know that when Jesus was on this planet, he addressed sickness very clearly. The Bible says that everyone who came to Jesus, they were all healed. What's the word all mean? Everyone. Every one of them. Which is really cool. And we know about demonic. We're talking about demonic right now. We know that Jesus cast out the spirit of blindness, the spirit of deafness, the spirit of mute. We know that different demon spirits, one that caused osteoporosis, one that dealt, we could go through the line of all the different demons that are mentioned in the scripture that have caused physical illness. You see, the devil wants to make you sick. Now listen, not all sicknesses come from the devil. It's important now. I could preach 3 weeks just on this. Not all sicknesses come from the devil. Sometimes you just get sick. Sometimes you pick up a refrigerator and blow out 3 discs. Don't blame the devil. Sometimes you eat 500 hamburgers and you blow your heart up. Don't blame the devil. Can I hear an amen? And I love McDonald's French fries. Jesus is good. Hallelujah. But no matter whether the demonic is bringing it in your life and or you're sick, the great news is that Jesus Christ came that you can be healed of every sickness and every disease in your life. Christ paid the price. How many of you believe it's always God's will to forgive you of sin? Then you've got to believe it's always God's will to heal your body. Now, the next thing the devil always works to take out of your life is your wealth. He doesn't want you blessed. He wants you in poverty. You know, I had a teacher one time, a church actually. I was a youth pastor, and I was making $25 a week full time, living in the pastor's basement. And I remember I went for a raise after about 8 months. And so I'm sitting before the church board, I was sitting at the church, and I put a request in to the church annual business meeting if I could have a raise to $100 a week. And a man stood up from the board, and he said, "You're not worth $100 a week. Keep them poor, Pastor. Keep them humble." What did I do? I didn't get a raise. I remember one time I was working at a church. I was full-time. My wife and I were full-time at the church making $10 a week. Now, I'm not kidding. $10 a week, full-time. And I remember I was driving school bus to supplement my income up in Newfield. And as I was supplementing my income, I remember during the summer, as you know, school bus drivers don't drive in the summer. I went to the church board and I said, "Listen, guys, I just need you to cover my bills for the summer." And the guy looked at me and he says, "Give me all your bills, I'll pay them." And I said, "They're none of your business." He says, "Well, listen, we're not giving you any money. It's your problem." And I said, "How much money do you make?" He goes, "Oh, I'm a mail carrier. It's none of your business." There's a philosophy in the church world that if you're poor, you're more spiritual. And I want you to recognize this. This is a diabolical plot to keep the church at bay from being able to accelerate in this world. No, I'm telling you. Let me tell you when I first got riled with this one. The very first time I got riled was when I was in Newfield, and I was sick and tired of watching the Mormon commercials that were really good. For those who don't know, Mormonism is a cult. And I got mad. And I said, "God, why do they have money, yet I'm making $10 a week?" It came down to a philosophy within the church that has been seeded by the devil, that if you have money, that you can't be spiritual. Money makes you no more spiritual than poverty. And if a person becomes evil when they get money, all they actually did was reveal their heart before money. The devil wants to keep you poor so that you can't tithe. The devil wants to keep you poor so you can't give. The devil wants to keep you poor so that you're always just barely making it by. There's nobody in the church more selfish than somebody who says this to me, "Pastor, I'm just believing God for just enough to make my own bills." Well, the Bible says that if you can't give anything away, that you're only just barely surviving. And God said that he is able to give abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. God wants you blessed and not cursed. Can I hear an amen? We all know the story that's found in the book of Ecclesiastes about the poor man who gave the way the city was being besieged. They were being attacked. And the poor man stood up and he explained how to get free, how to defeat the enemy. And he gave the information, but guess what happened? The Bible says after they won the victory, they didn't remember him anymore because he was a man with no influence. Money doesn't give you influence, but it gives you a level of confidence. And there's a necessity to recognize something. It is nothing more than a tool. And how many of you need more tools? How many of you wouldn't mind more money? Anybody else? You're a liar, and next time they offer you a raise, give it all to the church. Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in prosperity. Good. Thank you, Jesus. Sell all that you have and give it to the church. What? I don't know if you saw it online. I'm almost done. Saw online the other day, this person posted that this preaching sermon. And it was saying, this man's up there preaching, and he's preaching against God blessing his people, against having a nice car, against having a nice house. And I just kind of wrote on there, nice watch. Nice bracelet, nice French cuff shirt, nice, I went through all the nices. Why? Because he's preaching against prosperity but living it. I love those that preach against prosperity. I love researching their life and realizing they live in a $2 million house. They're preaching against prosperity, prosper them enough so they're blessed. There's a need to understand that God doesn't want you poor. That Jesus Christ paid so that you don't have to be poor. Turn to someone and say, poverty is not for me. Well, Pastor, this doesn't work in other countries. That's a lie. I don't know who you've been listening to. But this exchange is different in every country. There are some countries, in fact, there was one, they had a big movie on it one time. It was about a group of people down in Central America. Their money was their crops. And what they did was a missionary came in there and they all got saved. The whole town got saved. So what they did was this, is they said, as a town, we're going to take our whole crop and we're going to tithe 10% of our entire crop to other people that are in need. That was pretty cool, right? The next year, all of their crop doubled. In fact, they said that if a carrot was normally this big around, it was this big around. Everything increased over double. Why? Because you can't outgive God, whether it be a carrot or whether it be a dollar or whether it be a penny or whether it be a nickel, whether it be a euro. It doesn't matter. You can't outgive God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the word rich there in the Greek literally means money. It means wealth. Yet for his sakes, he became poor, which literally means poverty in relativity. Remember, when you come from streets of gold to come down to the streets of Jerusalem, you're not living in great abundance. That through his poverty, you might become rich. I love the religious. They always say this is talking spiritual. The Bible says, check your context. What's the context? The whole chapter is talking about money. Jesus Christ did not come so you could live poor. He wants you blessed abundantly above all you could even ask and or imagine. God wants you blessed. Yeah, that's tough for some folks. I just kill at least three religious cows in the house. The next place the enemy always attacks is your family. The devil hates your family. Why does he hate your family? Because your family is the mirror of heaven. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are called the children of God. We are called the bride of Christ. Everything surrounded, it's called the household of faith. Everything surrounded heaven is about family. The enemy hates your family because if your family lines up, starts working in the will of God, you're going to raise up generations of devil killers. You're going to raise up generations of soul snatchers. You're going to raise up generation of body healers. You're going to raise up generations of people that are going to change this world. You see, he hates your family. Whenever you see an attack on your health, on your wealth, or on your family, you always know it's never God. Turn to someone and say, it's never God. The other part of the family is the family of God. You would believe how many churches have church splits? How many churches they get cut in half and there's a fight over here and a fight over there? Where I grew up, in the home church I grew up, I remember 140 people. They were all considered my aunts and my uncles. And one day, this woman stood up on a Sunday night. She walked up to the pastor while he was preaching. And he said, sir, you are of the devil. They ended up taking her out by the police. That started something in the church. You see, that released a demonic spirit in that church, and it started to divide the church. And I remember the morning. It was a Sunday morning. I was just a young child. I remember all of a sudden, who's ever with the pastor come up on the pulpit? It was my family, Uncle Harold and Aunt Queenie, and their family, my grandmother, my grandfather, and then a few other folks, and all the rest of them walked out the door. I want you to recognize the devil hates church. The devil hates the kingdom of God. The devil wants to destroy the family of God. And the church has got to stop being ignorant. Can I hear an amen? The devil always attacks in what three areas? Shout health, wealth, and family. Shout health, wealth, and family. Shout it one more time. Health, wealth, and family. Three areas the demonic always attack. Why? Because Jesus paid for them already and he called them good. Christ would never cut a covenant that wasn't amazing. In fact, it says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He makes a declaration. He said, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Better than the old covenant. You see, you and I are in the best position we can be, but the enemy hates our position because he does not want you successful. What is success? Doing the will of God. The devil does not want you to do the will of God. He does not want you to fulfill your purpose. He does not want you to do the God's design for your life. He wants to make you, trip you up, twist you, contort you, so that you're all earthly good and no heavenly good. Can I hear an amen or oh my? How does he do this? I'm going to go through quickly. Number one, divide and conquer. The very first tactic of the demonic. He got Eve alone. You see, this is why it's never good to be alone. It's never God's plan for you to be alone spiritually. Well, you know, I'm just home. I like home church. Really? Just you and who? Well, it's me and the Lord. Really? Then why did Jesus, the head of the church, create the church? Why would God said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days? Church was not created by man. Man screwed it up pretty good. But church was created by Christ. God set him as the head. Why is that? It's not good for you to be alone spiritually. God has always planned that one shall pick up somebody else and encourage someone else. Encourage one another with these words. Hebrews makes a declaration. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 4. He said, especially, come on, encourage one another while today is called today, lest a spirit of sin comes upon them. We need each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Turn to the person on your left and say, I don't even like you, but I need you. Well, I just don't like church. Well, I'm telling you something. Don't blame me. Blame God. It was God's plan that you not be alone spiritually. Someone said to me recently, well, I'm around a few Christian brothers. Well, that means you don't have a pastor. Oh. Well, I don't need a pastor. Oh, I'm sorry. Talk to Jesus, because he said, and he gave gifts to men, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity and to bring them to maturity, that you will not be shifted around by every wind of doctrine that comes on the line. I'm sorry, if you don't have a pastor, you're alone. Ooh, that was free, Jesus. Not even in my notes, but that was good. What three areas does the devil attack? Your health, your wealth, and your finances. Here we go. Another way he comes at you is offenses. If you weren't here for Pastor Rhonda's message last week, man, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what you got to do, but you got to get online today. You've got to watch that message today. It's on the archives, histabernacle.com. You've got to watch last week's message. No, listen to me. You've got to watch last week's message. There's only one spirit stronger than the Holy Spirit in church. That's the spirit of offense. People walking away from their destiny, the church you are with, the church that is your family, the church you go to, the pastor you submit to, has a direct connection of whether you will fulfill the destiny God has planned for you or not. Amen. Selah. Another one is called distractions. I call it being distracted to death. Where we're so much in the world. We're so involved with the world. We got time for everything in the world. Now, listen, my pet peeve is all these parents that have their children play sports on Sunday morning. Will you rise up and tell these people that your kids are not playing on Sunday morning? Do you realize there's enough of you to change it? They did it down south. It will work here. But we're teaching our children that God is not as important as our sports. That God's not as important as whatever you want to do. Listen now, we've got to make decisions. So many of us are distracted. We'll never fulfill God's destiny. And we sit back and we just think it's the world. No, the devil is working hard in your life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10 that Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, 22, now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the world and becomes unfruitful. Another way the devil attacks is discouragement. He tries to get your courage to be gone. Courage is seriously a command from God in the book of Joshua. He loves to bring you to discouragement through people, situations, and criticism. Another one is discontentment. I love this statement. Well, I'm not getting fed at His Tabernacle Family Church. Well, I'm telling you something. Listen, I'm going to be straight up rude to you. You're dumb as a stone. If you can't be fed at His Tabernacle Family Church, you aren't hungry. If you can't be fed at His Tabernacle Family Church, you can call me abrasive, you can call me intrusive, you can call me anything you want. If you can't be fed spiritually at His Tabernacle Family Church, baby, you need your own church and I'll come to it. Because you're getting the best teaching in the region. And I can go through my pastoral staff, and they are phenomenal teachers teaching the Word of God, teaching the principles of God. Man, you can't fail in this house. You cannot. Well, I've been through rock solid faith. Baby, I've been through rock solid faith 17 times. And I still learn every time. And I wrote the book. Don't allow yourself to slide into a discontentment. I'll be a little. My wife. Oh, come on, hurry up. I just said this morning, you know, I get up at 5:15 every morning, sometimes a little early, but most of the time 5:15 every morning. And I've been doing it for years, going to the man cave and putting on some Juanita Bynum and praying and seeking God for you and for this house and for my family and the will of God for this region. I mean, I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I know that the Lord is moving in our region because of the power of prayer. But I'm bored to death right now. I just got to be honest with you. Really, I got up again, you know, this week. This week's been a tough week for me. I got up this week and I walked into the man cave and just kind of looked around. Alexa, play Juanita Bynum. Juanita Bynum comes on. And I just don't feel the same chutzpah. And I said, I'm just going to have to mix some things up a little bit. So I started reading. Usually I pray, and then later on I read. So I started reading first, and I'm starting to change things up a little bit because sometimes we become ritualistic. We become so ritualistic, we become discontent. And the enemy comes in our life and says, well, you know, it's not working for you anymore. You know, that Jesus stuff don't work anymore. You tried it once. It worked for you then, but not for now. You see, the enemy is sly. He's a sly old fox. You gotta be careful. Disassociation, again, getting you out of church, getting you out of small groups. Listen, if we can't get you out of the pews and get you into circles, it's not long until you're gone. Let me say it one more time. If we can't get you out of the pew and get you into a circle, it's not long until you're gone. Why? Because God created you for relationships. That's what builds you. Not just doctrine, relationships. It's phenomenal teaching, but until you can apply it, it doesn't mean anything. Are you out there this morning? Amen? So the enemy is actively, I'm almost done. Really, really, really. I've got like 3 minutes left. Go. He's actively striving to break your divine connection with other people. As long as he can get you to be a person that produces nothing, even though he's lost you, he's still won. Your life and my life, man, God has planned it so perfectly, and he said, I've got people that just you can reach. And when the attack of the enemy comes in our life, he's going to attack what three areas? Our health, our wealth, and our family. When you see that attack, you don't whine. Turn to someone and say, don't whine. Well, you know, I'm so depressed. Well, you know, that's really uncomfortable. You want to know why that's uncomfortable? Because he never called you to be defeated. He called you to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's not called you to survive. He's called you to thrive. He said, I've given you all the power over the power of the devil. I've given you all authority over the power of the devil. You are not weak. And even when you are weak, I am strong. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's time to recognize God didn't call you to barely make it by. He's called you to rise up. He's called you to authority. He's called you to power. And remember, the devil always hopes this, that you remain as ignorant as you can, because he knows this. Ready? He knows you can whoop him. I had this kid named Mike in elementary school. Sherry, you were there for this fight. This kid, Mike, man, he was tough. He was a big kid. And I was this big round. And I was 5'2" in the 10th grade. Yeah, we're talking out. Thank you. Oh. My nickname was Little One. The girls love me. The guys just beat me all the time. So here I was in elementary school, and Mike kept pushing me around. So I went up and I poked him in the chest. I'll see you after school. He goes, I'll see you out in the commons. I know I immediately went to the bathroom in my pants. I just started moving around. I got out the commons because there was no way to get home by the commons. Got out into the commons. My sister Sherry was there. And Mike said, I'm going to pick you up and throw you against that tree. I don't know if he talked that deep, but I knew it was the devil. And I looked at him and it says, you don't know who I am. Of course, he knew me from elementary school. I mean, from all the way. And my sister Sherry spoke up. She goes, he's going to get you. I'm thinking, it's my sis. It's my sis. You remember that, Sher? Yeah. I was scared. But my sis was on my side. And I remember, man, he grabbed me. And I knew if he picked me up, I'm done. Here comes the tree. And I reached up and punched him right in the nose. And he bent over and he starts crying. I went, yes, run! I whooped him. See, you might think the devil's too big, but I want you to know you've already whooped him. You've already punched him in the nose. The Bible says that Jesus put his head on the head of the serpent and already has victory. Man, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when the devil attacks your health, the devil attacks your wealth, the devil attacks your family, don't whimper and whine. No, you got my sister on your side. He gonna whoop you. You see, God knows he's already given you the power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any Satan, satanic devil, and even Lucifer himself. God knows that. You need to know that. The devil hopes you're ignorant of that, and it's time to take authority. The Bible makes a declaration. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know that word flee, the Greek word, the word picture is a dog with its tail between its legs. You can't be passive. You got to be aggressive. When the enemy comes against you, one way you can make him flee, seven ways. Amen. Man, you're not cowering. You're standing with your shoulders back and your head high, not in your authority, but in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I love what David said. You come to me with a big sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he took that little stone that looked impossible, and he placed it in the middle of the head of that giant. The giant fell down, and man, he went to cut his head off. I want you to know today that the devil knows you can cut his head off in your life, and you've got to stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. So no matter what weapon he formed against you, it can't prosper. But you've got to be able to identify his methodology. Your health, your wealth, and your family. When that happens, posture yourself. Don't lean back. Lean forward. In the name of Jesus. And man, the devil knows the name of Jesus. He's afraid of the name of Jesus because he's already been whooped by the name of Jesus. Amen? I said amen? Turn to someone and say, don't forget the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that today you've not made us weak, but you've made us strong. I thank you that your word has given us power and authority on this planet. I thank you, God, that we can stand here in the power of your might. I thank you, God, that we can stand here in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed clean, and God, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing the devil, even Satan himself, brings against us has the power over us because you are in us. I thank you, God, that this is the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're not some people walking around with a crutch called religion. But we are folks walking with God inside that says, conquerors. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to be great and not weak. Lord, blessed and not cursed. Healthy and not sick. Filled with family and not alone. God, I thank you that today you provided it on the cross of Calvary. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know, listen now, without Christ in your life, you have no authority over the works of the devil. I call it dog meat. That means the devil can do whatever he wants in your life and he has the right to do it. Because you're his kid. I'm not saying you're dancing around pentagrams and sacrificing children in the middle. But you cannot serve both God and or the devil. You can only serve one. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I got something for you, man. Not religion, not a church membership, but I got the one who died on the cross. He wants to come in and dwell inside of you and make you a brand new man, a brand new woman. He wants to give you destiny and purpose and direction of life, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a reason to live. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up. You want to receive him in your life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to wait real long because I've gone a little bit late. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Some of you in the room, we have something for you. We have a syringe for you for inoculation. I remember taking Pastor Cody for an inoculation in the 8th grade, 7th and 8th grade. They told him that you couldn't come back to school without being inoculated. So we brought Pastor Cody in, you know, 7th and 8th grade into the doctor's office. And he went to go, you know, he pulled the needle out that was this long. And he pulled it out and was going to was going to inoculate Cody. And guess what happened? He freaked out. He starts swinging and punching. Doctor says, hold him down. You were in first grade? Well, you were muscular back then, I think. Man, he starts, and I hold one arm, Rhonda holds another, and we actually had to bring in another, I think it was a nurse or a doctor, just to hold him down, to give him a shot so he could go to school. I said, I don't want to hold you down, but I want you to take this, and I want you to put it in your car. Well, you better not put it in your car where everybody can see it. You might get pulled over. Put it in your bathroom. And when you get, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? The pastor gave it to me. Put it where you can see it in the morning. And when you get up, I want you to remind yourself, the devil can't touch my health, my. I want you to, every time you see it, remember, he's made you more than a conqueror. You're not weak. The devil's afraid of you. You don't have to be afraid of him. Amen. The ushers are going to have them in the back of the sanctuary. They're going to be able to grab one on your way out. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. is preaching next Sunday morning. You don't want to miss it. And one more announcement. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. will be with us in October.